Toni Lopes was on her way to Tufts Medical Center in 2015 when something caught her eye. It was a line of people for blocks.
On Washington Street, down Oak Street, down Harrison Ave. I'm like looking, I'm saying, why are all these people here?
The line was for a housing lottery. A new building in Chinatown had 95 apartments for low-income residents. A Chinese English newspaper reported that more than 4,000 people applied. Seeing the line, Lopes decided to apply. She didn't win the lottery, but she is inching up on the wait list.
I got a letter back from them in November of 2017 and saying that I was 53 on the list. I have not received anything since then.
For now, Lopes is doubled up with her brother in the South End. She's retired and living on a fixed income. She can't afford a place of her own in the neighborhood unless she wins the housing lottery. In the second in our series about affordable housing, WBUR's Kainat Khan picks up our story with the winner of another housing lottery.
Kristen McCart has won the housing lottery twice.
Which to me was insane because I've never won anything more than a $5 scratch ticket.
The first got her a small studio in the Seaport. The second got her where she is now, a tidy studio apartment in South Boston. She's decorated it with objects that tell the story of her family's roots in the neighborhood.
I have, you know, things from my grandmother.
She points to two porcelain clown dolls.
Even though they're kind of a little scary.
The dolls are sitting on bullhorns that belong to her father.
My father's father was in the war and brought them back for him.
Her grandparents bought a house in South Boston in the 1940s for $8,000. That's where she grew up, with her grandparents in the upstairs unit. Her mom and sister still live there. McCart wanted to stay in the neighborhood, but even with a professional job, she couldn't afford a place of her own.
There was nothing below, I want to say, $2,000 a month. I would be eating, you know, Cheez-Its.
Now, McCart pays just under $1,100 for her studio. The market rent for a studio in her building is $2,400. So where do these lottery units come from? They're built through a city policy that requires most new residential developments to contribute affordable housing. There are tiers of affordability, and that affects where the lottery units get placed. Moderate-income lottery units like McCart's are integrated into the new apartment building. Low-income lottery units like the one Lopes is waitlisted for are often in their own building nearby or built elsewhere in the city. So if a developer builds in Chinatown, the low-income units it's contributing aren't necessarily going to be in Chinatown. Federal and state funding exists to build low-income housing, yet not for middle-income households.
The traditional funding sources are all focused on lower-income households, and yet there are moderate to middle-income households that are being priced out of the city.
Tim Davis is the Boston Planning and Development Agency's housing policy manager. He says the city's policy was designed to meet the gap in middle-income housing. As of 2017, almost 90% of affordable rental units developers build as a result of the city policy are geared toward moderate-income households. But housing advocates argue the policy still leaves many behind.
The, quote, affordable units are not so affordable to actual Boston residents.
Kathy Brown is with the Boston Tenant Coalition. Most affordable units integrated into market-rate developments are for incomes around $75,000 to $100,000 for a household of four. But according to Brown, Boston's median income for a four-person household is just under $60,000. Brown argues that Boston's housing policy doesn't address the needs of residents most at risk of displacement or eviction.
People in Boston, you know, on fixed incomes or just, you know, working class have much more limited options.
Almost 47,000 low-income units exist in the city. But as Lopes's experience shows, demand far outstrips supply. Many low-income renters are left to the private market. The issue is that there are vanishingly few rental units on the private market affordable to low-income households, meaning, by the city's definition, where households aren't spending more than a third of their income on rent. The city estimates around 34,000 low-income households spend half of their income on rent. These households experience a high risk of housing instability. It's unlikely they could withstand a rent increase or an unplanned expense, and the city expects the proportion of low-income residents to grow.
We think it's important to lower the income targets for this affordable housing program. The need is at the lowest incomes, you know, the waiting lists or how many people apply for affordable units. It's thousands of people, so the need is so much greater on the lower end.
The city is open to the critiques that Boston Tenant Coalition and other advocates have raised about the policy. Tim Davis says the BPDA is considering a number of changes to leverage even more from developers. Right now, only buildings with more than 10 units that require a zoning variance fall under the policy. But BPDA wants to include more projects, whether or not they need a zoning variance.
And we think it's important that every project tries to do something for affordable housing in the city.
Only 13% of the units in a building need to be affordable. In a 10-unit building, that's one unit. BPDA is looking into possibly increasing the percentage. And finally, BPDA is evaluating how to target a larger range of incomes. Why can't the city just simply tell developers it wants a larger affordability percentage and lower income limits? It's a question of feasibility.
If you can't earn more income than your operating expenses, then you have to put away your toys and go home.
Peter Roth is the founder of New Atlantic Development, a company which builds affordable and mixed-income buildings. The addition of affordable units means that developers will lose money on them. But they can't lose too much money, otherwise the building just won't get built.
You need to make sure that your mix of units, market rate, and affordable will achieve a degree of profitability.
So in exchange for building units at a loss, that is the affordable units, the city cuts the developer a deal, zoning relief. Most of Boston's zoning is for short buildings with a small footprint. Zoning relief lets the developer build a larger building with more units. The additional market units make up for the lost profit of affordable units. Roth likes the city's policy because it's structured as an incentive for developers while extracting a public benefit from them. However, he warns,
it will lose its success if it becomes more like a tax and not an incentive program.
Can you tell me about this project you're working on? I see a bunch of pink ribbons.
That's tool to make a tutu for my granddaughter for her birthday party. Her theme is Barbie dolls.
Tony Lopes grew up in the South End, in the former Cathedral Public Housing Development. She raised her daughter in the Via Victoria Apartments, a development for low-income households. Her monthly rent for a two-bedroom apartment was under $1,000 for 20 years. It allowed her to save for her own home outside Boston. But during a severe illness, she lost her job and couldn't keep up with the mortgage payments.
I had to come back to the city. At that point, I didn't have no other option. Either that or I would have probably been homeless.
Lopes is one of the many low-income households in the city, waiting for a unit she can afford in the neighborhood she wants to live in, near her grandkids. She can manage that now, living with her brother, but she longs for a place of her own.
I would like open space, a large room. I'm an artist. I work with acrylic paints, oil paints. I work with floral arrangements. I sew. All of this stuff takes up room.
There is another option for developers. If they don't want to set aside affordable units in their building, they can pay into a city fund for low-income housing. Since 2000, developers have contributed over $137 million to this fund, and it's been used to build more than 1,000 units of low-income housing. Most of the new low-income units are concentrated in Roxbury and Dorchester. The city says many in these communities fear displacement and want more low-income housing built there, which raises a question. What choice do low-income Bostonians have about where they can live? That's tomorrow. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kainat Khan.